Well, this morning we're going to start on a subject. This is a very interesting subject. I don't know if you've ever heard the subject of submission and authority taught. I don't know if you did. Actually, I had never heard the subject taught till I went to Bible school. And at Rhema, they taught this subject. In fact, Keith Moore taught this subject. This was a subject that was would step on your toes. But and really, I think because one of the things it does, I believe, from this reason is why is because it's not taught to people, so people don't know. And what you find out, what you don't know, you can't live what you don't know, can you? I mean, unless I checked, I couldn't. What it did, it cleared up a lot of things because, now I want you to think about this. This is back, I had this subject was taught back in 1988. And I had never heard it taught up to that time. And, you know, American culture wasn't like today, but I could see at that time when we were being taught this subject, how much the church had accepted things about our culture as being godly. That's, you know, you find this, it's not just Americans, this is any culture. If you look over in the Jewish culture and you read the Old Testament, and you look through the Old Testament, if you study and follow the Old Testament, the Jews had all kinds of things in their culture. And when people today read the Bible, they think that God was in, that God set all the things up. Well, God didn't set everything up that they did. They had things about their culture that really run cross-grained the way God did things. You know, I mean, you just take, you know, as a good example, most people know about it. Just like with David, when David was anointed by Samuel, I mean, they thought God's going to take the oldest son. You know, he's the best one in the bunch. He's the biggest dude, and all that. Because why that? Under their culture, the things were handed down first. In inheritance, you know, was handed down to the eldest. And then, the rest of them got, you know, piecemeal of all whatever was left over. But that's the way they operated. It was always the eldest. But you turn around and look at God. God didn't work that way. You know, look at Moses. I mean, Moses was the youngest in his family, and God chose him. David was the youngest, and God chose him. They didn't do it according to culture. In how their cultures, you know, Jesus rebuked them about their culture, which Moses set up for them concerning divorce. And Jesus said, you know, basically, God didn't set up the divorce thing. God's intent was you didn't get divorced, but he said Moses did it because of the hardness of your hearts. That's why he did it. But it came a cultural way that they followed, but it wasn't what God established. In other words, it wasn't God's best. And so we have a lot of things here in our American culture. You know, a lot of people look at, you know, whether, like with our country set up and all that kind of stuff, that somehow that our you know, the American Constitution, and some people almost equate the Constitution to the Bible, you know, and it's not quite the Bible. Because, I mean, look how people interpret the Constitution today based on the culture. And, you know, they call all kind of things freedoms that were not freedoms years ago. And so they twist things around. And so when we go into this, to the study, we need to understand that, because a lot of things you're going to find that as we teach this thing, we're running cross-grain to what biblical teaching is on a subject. You know, it doesn't matter what freedoms we're given in our Constitution. Really, the Constitution of the Church is the Scriptures. you know, our government can give us laws, do all kinds of stuff. But the Bible doesn't give us those freedoms. And there's things, and we want to look at these things, but we don't want to look at them on the other side. We don't want to go over and get into condemnation. You got to, it's one thing, if we study things and we find we're out of line with something, okay, we might be out of line, but don't live under guilt. That don't get you nowhere. I say, oh my God, we've made a mess of it. Well, you know, when you'd find out what you need to do, you just start walking in that direction. I mean, you know, you can't. I mean, when a child, you know, finds out that 2 and 2 is 4, you don't want him living under guilt that he didn't know that. Say, oh, my words, I'm just a dummy. I should have known that. And another thing is dealing with it. When things are not taught from the Scriptures, when things are not taught, it's like I said, so people don't know them and they don't know what they are. And it isn't just like it's being anointed to teach things makes a whole lot of difference than just sitting down. You can sit down and read things in the Bible and say, well, I know them. But there's another thing to be sitting under an anointing and God's teaching this. And this is where the direction the Holy Ghost is moving, as to people comprehending and understanding it. And so We don't want to get over in the areas where we feel condemned about it, because that doesn't lead to anything productive. Now, if a person's going to hear the truth and then ain't going to live it anyhow, well, they're going to live under condemnation because their heart's going to condemn them, and that you can't stop. But there's things that you might learn here, you know, and it's like all these things, they take time of practice and learning to live these things and walk in them. So, you know, understand that. I used to listen years ago when I first started listening to Kenneth Hagin teach, and I used to try to be where he was at. Well, that didn't work. And one thing that really helped me years ago was a minister said this. He said, you know, when we look at Jesus and we look at Jesus in the scriptures, he said, and we're told to be like him and live, like, walk like he walked and that stuff. And he said, but you need to be careful. He said, don't measure yourself with his measuring stick against your life. He said, if you do that. Because in a sense, I would do that with Kenneth Hagin. I'd see how, so I'd take his measuring stick to where he's living with the years of revelation that he had and understanding. And I'm trying, thinking, well, what's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with me. I was just growing up. That's all was wrong with Ed. He was just growing up. He didn't have the years of experience. He didn't have the revelations that he had. He didn't have, so Ed Gibson couldn't quite go there. But I thought I should. And that was part of immaturity. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to, you know. I used to write with Braden and talk to Braden, because Braden used to see me do things and he wanted to do them, but he couldn't do it. He'd get frustrated. Oh, nice to talk to him. Is Braden, that's all right. You don't. There's nothing wrong with you, Braden. There's things you're just going to have to learn to do, and it's okay. Because he would get frustrated as, well, why can't I do that? And I just explain to him and encourage him along. You don't say, oh, you dumb kid. Sometimes we do that to ourselves, don't we? Sometimes we do, you know. Sometimes we might say it to ourselves, but we think it. What's wrong with me? You know, I'll tell you what, I ought to have gotten this right by now. You know. So one thing as I learned is you don't quit. You might mess up 47 times, but don't quit. Just keep at it. Don't, you know, get condemnation, don't get you nowhere. You'll never arrive at any place looking down on yourself. So I want you to do that as we go along in this teaching. But there's things in this teaching that really opened up the door to why we have the problems of America we have, is because really the church has left a lot of foundational things of Scripture and has left them in our teaching, and we've opened the door to society rather than to God's Word and accepted things that are not right, and therefore it's cost us greatly. But, you know, maybe a lot of them have done it, but we can walk in the truth. And these things were really helpful for me along in things in life, because being sitting in a class and being taught these things really did help me in a lot of areas to deal with things in life of where I was supposed to walk. Because there's one thing that we want, and we're going to go, as Keith Moore taught this subject. He said, if people don't understand submission, they'll never walk in authority. And see, we teach the subject of authority, and we do that. We talk about the authority we have. But if we want that authority to work, it's just like anything in the Scriptures. There's rules to follow it, how it works. And if you get outside the rules, things don't work, you know. You know, it's like when you're flying in that airplane, you want those wings and engines to keep doing their thing, don't you? Because that law of lift is really important. And that propulsion, it's very necessary. So you want those principles to keep running, because those laws in motion keep that thing flying, and you get to go where you want to know, all happy and everything. You know, you don't want to stop a long way and say, let's quit those laws. Let's stop them things. I want to do something else. What do you think? Say, not really. So, and this is what we're going to look at. Now, we're going to use a foundational scripture here from James, the 4th chapter. We're going to go to the book of James. James, the 4th chapter. Wow. James said, in James, the 4th chapter, James in his writings, in verse 6 of the 4th chapter says, speaking of God, but he gives more grace. God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Then it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, we're talking here, and it's about the grace of God. It says God gives more grace. And now we need to understand this is because understand to walk under submission and in the authority that God gives us, we do that through grace. It's not self-ability. It's not done by that. So, and I learned that early on as a young Christian because sometimes I would try to do what I did by my ability. And boy, that didn't work. I really wasn't relying on grace. I didn't know how to. And, you know, I was learning about faith. And really through faith is where we learn how to yield to the grace of God. And so God gives more grace. But he says, God resists the proud. So there's things that God resists. So God resists the proud person. Now, we're told to resist the devil, but we need to understand this. God resists the person who's proud. He resists them. So we'll talk about these things later on, about pride, because there's an area there that's a big, important area, pride. God resists the person who's proud. In other words, God's not working on their behalf. Let me just say this. You know, if you learn to walk by faith, a lot of people will accuse you of being prideful. Because some people, this is why, as you be careful about what you call pride. A person who's making a confession by faith, you need to know the difference between that. You need to learn. See, the Bible says, know no man after the flesh. We're supposed to know everybody after the Spirit. In other words, a person walking over the area of faith is walking in the place of the Spirit. What they say may sound similar to somebody that's prideful, but it's not pride what they're saying. They're just agreeing with what God said about them. And so understand that. But God knows who's in pride. And really, people who are living in pride, they're walking in the flesh. He said, but what he does, he gives grace to the humble. So grace is given to somebody who is humble. God gives grace to the humble person. Okay. The person's not prideful. Really, the humble person is a person who lives by faith in God. That's what he is. A humble person lives by faith. Faith is trusting God to live. That's what it is. We trust God. You know, did you ever think about when you believe God for your healing, you're acting humble? You're trusting God for it. I mean, think of anything you trust God for, anything you believe God for, is an act of humility because you're trusting God to help you in it and not trying to do it yourself. You're trusting God's grace. And God, what does he do? He gives grace. See, a lot of people think pride is just, you know, there's plenty of Christians that are full of pride because, you know what, they won't believe God to help them. They're just doing everything by the natural as they can. And they don't really, that's prideful. It's man living without God. You don't want to live without God. That's why faith is so wonderful. When you live by faith, you're constantly trusting God in your life to help you. That's humility. You're looking and saying, God, hey, I can't live without you. I need your help. I need you. In other words, I need grace. I need what God has. I need it working in my life to help me do what I want to do. And that is humility. We'll talk more about that later. But we find that God, it says, therefore, what do? We submit ourselves to God. And this is where the areas of faith come in and why we teach so much on faith. This is why God had Kenneth Hagin teach the church, teach my people faith. Because faith gets us over in submission to God. We're over submitted to Him. We're submitted to what He can do for us because we realize we have limitation. And we're yielding ourselves by faith for Him to do in us what we can't do ourselves. So we're yielded to Him. And so that means that you're in a position, you're in submission. So we resist the devil. He said, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you, or he'll leave you alone. When you're over in the areas of faith, when you're walking over in the place of faith and you're submitted to God, the Satan has no authority in the areas dealing with you. Now, in the Bible, in basic English, I want to read those scriptures. It says, but he gives more grace, so that the writer says, God is against the men of pride, but he gives grace to those who make themselves low before him. And really, we're talking about low before him. How do you make yourself low before God? Walk around, I'm so unworthy. I always think about this when I did, because one of the wonderful revelations that God gave to Kenneth Hagin and his visitations, Kenneth Hagin's visitations always came with a revelation. And those revelations were for the church, and he always taught those revelations to the church. But he talks about being caught up to heaven, and Jesus was he was right there in front of Jesus. And Jesus had before that caught Brother Hagin up to heaven and had touched the palms of his hand and gave him a healing anointing and told him he was supposed to go and minister healing, that whoever would believe that he saw Jesus and Jesus touched his palms, his hands, they would believe that. And he laid hands on them, they'd be healed. And that's an interesting thing. They had to believe that he saw Jesus and that Jesus touched the palm of his hands. If they would believe that, he'd lay hands on them and they'd be healed. And Brother Hagin said it worked like clockwork. He said people believed it, it worked. See, Lot says, he said, some people had trouble with that thing. You know, they had trouble. Well, he saw Jesus. Well, what if he didn't? Well, but anyhow, he got called up to heaven later because he got so much flack from that in the churches and from ministers and his superiors. He got so much flack from that, he was backing away from it. So he got called up to heaven. Jesus called him up and said, when are you going to start operating in that healing ministry I gave you? And he said, well, I didn't really... He said, I didn't really plan too much about that. And Jesus said to him, he said, who anointed me? Who anointed you? He said, man or me? And he said, Jesus wasn't happy. He didn't like the answer. And he said, he fell down on his knees before Jesus and said, Lord Jesus, I'm just so unworthy. And he said, Jesus spoke sternly to him, and he said when he looked into Jesus' eyes, it was like lightning coming out of his eyes. He said, you stand to your feet, I made you worthy. See, he didn't allow him to do that old religious junk. I made you worthy. See, we might mess up, but that don't mean we're unworthy people. Just like with him, he messed up, but Jesus wasn't having none of that. See, that self-humility. See, what he was supposed to do, he was supposed to humble himself before Jesus by doing what Jesus said. That was being humble. It wasn't getting down and saying, oh, I'm worth nothing and I'm not. Man, you must be worth it. I mean, think about this in itself. I talked some about it Sunday. The fact that Jesus Christ saved us. If we're not worth anything, what on earth was he doing? Why would you, God, leave heaven, come down and walk around on the earth in an earth suit, suffer a horrible death for our sins, pay the punishment, go to hell for us, raise to the dead, we aren't worth nothing. Now, would you do for something that wasn't worth it? I mean, you had an old torn up shirt and somebody threw it in the garbage, would you be out there digging for it? Would you give your life for the old shirt it wasn't worth nothing? No, people would say, you're a stupid idiot. But the church really, in some ways, they don't realize they did it. They've almost made Jesus a stupid idiot. Came down and got us who weren't worth it. I want to tell you, and as I said Sunday, we were the prize God was looking for. We're the prize. Jesus did all he did to save humanity. Everything he'd done, we were considered the most valuable thing. The New Jerusalem is a city for the ones born again. A special city where God himself lives. God the Father is enthroned in that city. That is where we live. I mean, it's phenomenal. So when we think about humility, we think about the areas of, you know, resisting. In other words, when we're dealing with this thing, so, and let me just say this, grace is really God's ability that works in our life. It's God's ability. That's what you want. Grace is not just this, you know, you don't get what you deserve. There's a part of grace that teaches that. But the majority of time, the grace is talked about in the New Testament, in the letters in the church. Most of the time, Paul wrote about grace is what the ability of God that works in your life. You know, come boldly to the throne of grace where you receive mercy. You find grace to help. Grace helps. It isn't unworthy. You're not worthy, but he's going to be nice. He was nice to you in spite of your stupid. He didn't say, come stupid people, boldly to the throne of grace, you bunch of idiots. I'll help you out, you moron. I know you ain't worth it, but... No, he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. You receive mercy. You messed up. You get mercy here, and I'm going to give you ability. I'm going to give you my ability to help you out of your mess. Okay? So there, you know, that's God's answer to the dilemma of humanity. And so this is taking off. Grace is the ability of God in our life. It's peace. It's rest. It's really... Grace is about getting your needs met. That's what it's about. It's the grace of God. It's supplying all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's That's the grace of God at work. That's what grace was. Grace wasn't look and say, you didn't deserve it. Do you know, just like with Jesus. When Jesus commanded Brother Hagin to stand to his feet, and he said, I made you worthy. Basically, he doesn't go along with script with people's teaching on the fact that we don't deserve things. God seems to think we deserve it. He said, you stand to your feet, I made you worthy. What are you talking about, you're not worthy? No, the church keeps saying, we're not worthy, we're not worthy, we're not worthy. We speak against Scripture, and what we don't realize, we're yielding or submitting ourselves to the devil when we do that. Because he'll constantly tell you, you ain't worth it. He'll constantly tell you, you're unworthy. Jesus Christ is not going to do that. He's not going to tell you that you're unworthy. He's going to tell you, definitely, you've been made. I made you worthy. So we want to get in submission to God. So God God is against the pride, but he gives grace to those who make themselves low before him. For this cause, be ruled by God and make war on the evil one, and he will be put to flight before you. So really, the dividing of the enemy, when Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, I come that you might have life. So, in other words, God is the life giver. That's what he's telling us. Our enemy is dealing with Satan. Satan's our enemy. He's not, and the idea that people get about pride and all these things, things get so messed up. But we need to understand this. If we're not submitted to God, we cannot resist the devil. There's a pattern laid out here. If you submit to God, resist the devil. If we're not submitted to God, well, then there's on the other side of the coin. Then you're submitted to something. And see, this is what people don't realize. And this is why in the areas of using your faith. See, when you're using your faith, you're submitted to God. When you're using your faith, you're trusting God. You, at the same time, are resisting what the devil wants to do. You're resisting it. Why? By your submission to God. Your submission to God is an automatic resisting of Satan. You know, we go over the armor of God. Say, above everything, take the shield of faith. It quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. So everything that the enemy does to get us to submit to him, faith will stop it. That's why faith in God, we have faith in God, we're automatically in resistance to the devil. You know, when you got born again, you submitted to God, you resisted the devil, and what did you end up with? Salvation. You got born again, you became a child of God. You resisted the devil. See, a lot of people think, well, I'm out here and I've got to fight the devil. I'm going to, you know. Well, there's times you got to do things. But the big thing that people need to do up front is understand what faith is about. Faith in God is submission to God. I'm trusting him. That puts us in an automatic position where Satan can't just up and get at us at will. He can't do that. If Satan at will could come and get you, he'd do it. See, Christians have the idea that Satan can just sometimes just do what he wants. That's totally untrue. I remember years back when Fred Price's wife got liver cancer years ago. This goes back. She got liver cancer. And they were standing believing God, you know, concerning healing, and they're standing in faith about that. Things weren't changing. And Fred said, I sat down and began to think, you know, what's going on here? Something's happened here because the devil can't just at will come and give my wife cancer. He can't. Did we leave the door open somewhere, an opportunity for him to do something? Did we do something? Well, when they went that direction, then they got an answer from God because they found out that she wasn't submitted to God in a certain area because she was even, from the standpoint, sometimes we can do naturally things wrong that can hurt our health. And what she was doing, she never ate anything that wasn't cooked, and she never drank anything but coffee. That's the only thing. She never drank water. She never did anything. And really, she never ate like a salad. She never ate any kinds of stuff. She never ate a raw vegetable. She only ate certain things. And the Lord spoke to her when they got over in that area, and the Lord said to her, you have a doctor in your church who's a cancer specialist. And he said, you go submit yourself to him, and you do whatever he tells you to do. And he said, you'll be healed. And she went, did it. He said, Fred and her talked about this. I have a video of them. And they said this. They said, if God would have healed her instantly, They said in a matter of years, she'd have been back in the same condition again. Because what said her body was toxic, her liver and stuff was toxic and that stuff. But see, now they still need the grace of God. I don't know if you know about liver cancer. That's something they usually, you just get the coughing out generally. Liver cancer is very few people live through liver cancer. And you just get the coughing out. Get ready. Well, the Lord told them what to do, and they stayed in faith with God. And the doctor told her he was going to put her through chemotherapy. The Lord told her, you obey him. You do whatever he tells you to do. I'll heal you. Walk through it. But she said she learned a great lesson because he dealt with her on the areas of her diet and all that kind of stuff and things. And I don't know how many years back it's been. She's been completely 100% healed. Now, she didn't get healed because of the chemotherapy and everything went so wonderful. You know, God ran her through a teaching experience. You know, God's grace was surely in there healing her because she didn't have all the complications that people get with, you know, going through chemotherapy and that stuff. And so their faith was working the whole time. But God taught them something that naturally they had to do something. You know, that didn't mean she couldn't drink coffee. That means that you have to do something other than drink a coffee. Dear Lord. She said she never drank any other liquid than coffee. That's the only thing she ever drank. It's like, wow. She said, you know, she ate certain foods that she had to cook foods and fried foods. And she said, that's all she ate. She never ate anything. It had to be done like that. It's just... But anyhow, so hey, all these years she's been past it and she's walked in health ever since, so praise God. But see, God had to get some revelation across to her. But what she was doing, really, she wasn't yielded to God. Now, maybe she didn't know it, she was ignorant of it, but she stayed over in that place of ignorance, and after a while the devil could get in and the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. And God couldn't just let faith protect her and her keep doing something to harm herself. You know, there's information out there, but she wasn't going after that information. She was doing what she wanted to do. So we have to know that. Now, and understand, I'm using this as an example. Don't get over into, you know, it's the health food people, stuff get over nutty. Then people get crazy. Well, now you can't do this, you know. Don't go there. Because there's many crazy Christians on that side as there is on the other side. Nutty stuff going on. But what we're supposed to do in our submission to God. So if I yield to God, I am resisting the devil. If I'm yielding to him, you're automatically resisting the devil by yielding to God. If you're in faith with God, you're an automatic resistance to what the devil's doing. You're an automatic resistance. And that's why if I understand what God does. You know, see, you get people say whether it's sickness and they believe God wants them sick. Well, what happens? They're not submitted to God concerning their sickness. They think God wants them sick. So what the devil's doing, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, they're submitted to the sickness. They're submitted to that. They're submitted that that's supposed to run and that's supposed to operate and that's what's supposed to work. That's what they're submitted to. Now, most people wouldn't think you're doing anything like that. But they are, because God's provided healing through redemption, and they're over here saying, well, no, he didn't, and I just got to put up with this. And they don't realize what the devil's brought in the earth to kill, steal, and destroy. They're submitted to it because they don't believe it by faith. They don't believe that. Well, they may for some reasons. Sometimes they haven't been taught it, whatever it might be. Some people have been taught it and resisted. They just don't want to. I don't believe that that's true. So, but if I yield to the devil, then I'm not submitted to God, am I? You can't have both ways. But I want you to get a hold of this picture. It's why the walk of faith is so wonderful. Because, a lot of people think about these things in submission and resisting the devil. You do this, and then you got to go over here and do that. Well, first of all, you got to get yourself in the right frame of mind. If you're yielded over in the area of faith, you're already in the areas of submission to God. You're over here trusting what the Word of God said. And so in doing that itself, you're in resistance to Satan. It's like I said, when you got born again, you surely did resist Satan. Satan's death, you decided you were going to go over and submit to God's salvation, and you submitted to it. And what happened was you got born again in resistance to what Satan had. So understand that. So yielding here in submission and resistance is really... you can't do both of them at the same time. If you're doing one, you're automatically doing the opposite of the other. So just learn that. But learn, it's not some great complicated thing. People carry this stuff into such complication and teach it. It's about walking by faith. You just continue to walk by faith. And you're resisting what the devil's doing. you're resisting it. It's like, you know, an individual the Lord spoke to me about. I was praying about an individual problem they were going through. And really didn't get any answers and didn't get any. And finally I just said to the Lord, you know, what's going on here? And the Lord said, well, you can't really do anything for them. He said, they know what to do and won't do it. And with them, Satan's running the show and stuff. When a person doesn't, why? So what? They weren't submitted to God. They weren't resisting the devil. They were allowing the devil to do things, and they knew what to do. In other words, they knew what they needed to do to submit to God. But that is not what they were doing. They weren't doing that. So, them knowing what to do, the Lord took care of them for years and years and years and years. But, he comes to the place where he won't just keep doing it. You need to understand. Eventually, everybody reaps what they sow. Eventually it comes. Now, thank God, boy, it just don't happen overnight. You might have missed God, but he ain't tomorrow turning you over to the devil. Don't get into that thinking. God gives us space and time. You know, God will never judge somebody without giving them a long period of judging them. A long period of judging. You know, really, if you take what dealing with Fred Price's wife, Betty, she had really not paid attention to God on these things for years and years and years and years before this stuff happened. So she was in resistance. She wouldn't pay attention, you know. She had good information, but she didn't think she needed it. And I'm walking by faith. I remember this back when I first came to the kingdom back in the 80s, in the early 80s. You had these ridiculous people would come along, and they'd have on weight loss and all that kind of stuff. They would say, well, I'll tell you what, you can eat whatever you want and just mind cast out the calories, you know, and you can just eat whatever. Oh, yeah. Hey, a lot of that went around. They said, well, I didn't cast that obese spirit out of you, and now you can just eat anything you want. And people would go to it and just gain weight. Get worse. That's, yeah, ignorance gone to seed, you know. But you had all kind of ridiculousness out there going on. It's like the Lord told me. He said, heaven doesn't have any diets. It's just moderation in all things. Moderation in everything. See, you can get out of balance on what people today call good, but people are way out of balance, and it isn't good anymore because it's out of balance. What is good for them got into an extreme, and that's not good. You know, it's no longer good. So just always remember that. You know, it's all things in moderation. You know, you gotta just don't get wacky. Like that. Oh, they used to do that stuff all the time. Whenever I got saved, you would look at this stuff going. People coming in, I don't understand. I've been gaining weight. They said, that's it, dear Lord. It's never what I say to people. Now look, if you could do those things, Scripture would sure have them in. Wouldn't have Jesus done that for somebody? If that was a, you know. But, you know, people, you know, get gullible and believe anything. And this is why we stay with the Word of God. In Galatians 5:16 says this. Galatians 5 and verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, again, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? We're going to look. Walking in the Spirit means just walking in line with the Word or walking in line with whatever God told you to do. Some things the Spirit will tell you specifically to do in things because we know this. The Bible doesn't give us an answer for everything. There's some things in our lives we have to find out from God in specifics about situations, what we need to do. But if we walk in the Spirit, in other words, follow what's on the inside. He said, walking by the Spirit, walk in what's in you, because the Holy Ghost is in there in communion with your spirit, said you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we see the same principle that we have over here, submit to God, resist the devil. You can't do both at the same time. You can't walk in the flesh and over here at the same time walk in the Spirit. Because if you're walking in the flesh, you're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't do that. So, it's the same principle. You'll find this throughout the Scripture. If you're walking in the Spirit, you know what you're doing? You're resisting the devil. You're resisting the domination of the flesh. That's where the devil wants you. That, you ever think about that's what the devil does? The devil always wants us to listen to the flesh and carry it to excess. Isn't that what he do? Character excess. That's what he does. Go over here and get in the flesh. Follow just what the flesh says. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have flesh and we ever can never do nothing nice concerning our flesh. And us. See, holiness, consoled holiness people got over into the weird, you know. Like women couldn't wear makeup. You know, you couldn't wear a nice dress. You couldn't wear, something colorful. You couldn't wear, holiness people got over into the things and that stuff, And it's just like with the playing group. Their idea of humility is the clothing you wear. Or the car you drive, or that. Well, you can be full of, you know what? Loads of them are prideful about their humility. And they are. Now, if they want to do those things, go ahead, but don't call it God because you choose to do that. If you choose to do that, go ahead and do it. But, and I lived and was born and raised under that kind of teaching, and they called these things being humble. And so the guy who had something really nice, he wasn't humble. And the guy that went and, was poor and beat up, he's a humble guy, And lots of times, sometimes the most prideful people you ever want to run into. Well, you've heard the saying, people say, somebody offers them something, I can't do that, and I have my pride, I can't. And they need it bad. And they won't take it because I have my pride. Well, yeah, that's theirs. Yeah, so it doesn't go with having nothing. A lot of people have nothing because of their pride. That's why they have none. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So we humble ourselves to God. And this way we walk in the Spirit. So walking in the Spirit. So we need to understand, if I'm yielding to the devil, I'm not submitted. I am submitted to the devil if I'm yielding to him. I'm in submission to it. And it's just like here. He said, walk in the Spirit. Why? So you don't end up in submission of the flesh. When you're in submission of the flesh, that is a wonderful opportunity for Satan to come in and, well, get things running. Boy, I'll tell you what, the more you yield over to let the flesh do what it wants, the more the devil gets involved in it. I'll tell you what, the more he'll get in there. It's like it's one of those things. If you move over in that area an inch, he'll have you over there a yard in no time. That's what he does. So things we don't want to do is dominate, where our flesh dominates us and makes our decisions. So we're going to exercise authority. We're going to have to learn submission. That's what we're going to have. We're going to exercise the authority that we have and walk in it. Because you realize your faith, to walk in faith with the Word of God requires authority. Do you have having the authority for your faith to work? Now, the word submission that's used in the Scriptures comes from a military term, and it means to yield under. So you're a subordinate, and you're under a superior. So whatever you yield yourself to, you make that superior to you. That becomes just superior to you. That becomes your what guides you or rules you in what you do. So if I'm submitted to God, then that's what's ruling me. If I'm not resisting the devil and I'm yielded over there, then the devil does have authority. He can use authority over me. Why? Because I've yielded over into that area. I've yielded to it. So if we do not listen to God, if we don't listen to God, really, whether we understand it or not. Now, you're in rebellion, but you may not know that you could be, because the person doesn't understand that they're in rebellion. But they're in rebellion against and they're listening to the devil and doesn't. The devil doesn't have to listen enough. If I'm in that position where I'm over here and I'm really in rebellion to God, the devil doesn't have to listen to what I say. He doesn't have to. Because why? I'm not under the submission to God's authority. So in other words, I'm not a subordinate under him. People do this where they're subordinate under God, under many things in their life, but they have things over here they're not subordinate to God in. So that Satan gets access to them in certain areas. So understand that. Nobody is perfect at this thing. We're all learning. We're all in a learning thing. So there's areas of your life as you develop and grow, you become good in, and you become good at how to submit to God. But you don't quit there. Learn in all as many areas as you can to learn in that submission, to close the door to the devil, to be able to get access to you to do things. So you want to do that. Also, you don't want to get over any area where you're openly in rebellion to God. You don't want to do that. If you've read the Scriptures and even look in the Old Testament, don't ever work out for people well that are in open rebellion. You know, it's one thing to be in rebellion by ignorance, and you know, or even not doing what God wants, because you may have heard scriptures that say things and you have know some things about it, but you're not really well trained in it. So, but it's amazing how God gives grace to help you along in spite of our ignorance sometimes. So hook to that. Keith Moore said this. He said, if you recognize God as your superior and the one he puts in charge over you, then you will realize the devil is subordinate to you. See, if you recognize God as your superior and the one he puts in charge over you, because understand, in this earth, you know what? In this earth, we're all subordinate to people one way or the other. We have a subordination that we have. You go take a job at a place, you make yourself subordinate to the people that you work for. And they give you guidelines that you work under of whatever it is that you do on your job. And if you resist, if you resist the authority over you, you could lose your job. Well, couldn't you? I mean, what would happen? See, you don't submit, and you submit to over here to your flesh, and you do what you want and what you were told to do. But that authority can have the right, has the right to fire you. So we're all under authorities, governmental authorities and that stuff. You go out and drive under the highway. You know, police officers have authority over you. A lot of people don't think that. They don't think anybody has authority over them. You know, this is one of the great problems in America, and why Americans in the mess, and the American church is in the mess, because the American church preaches freedom. I don't like even the church talking about freedom the way they talk about it, because they're not talking about it scripturally. No, the Bible don't tell me I'm free to do anything I want. It says I'm free from sin. Jesus Christ freed me from sin. He didn't free me to do whatever I wanted to do. He didn't free me from that. I am not freed from that. I'm not freed from not submitting to authority. I'm not free of that. You know, I found out over the years of doing things is learning is in submitting to authority, the benefit of submission to authority. You know, I was one time driving the back way down from Hershey and came back down over his own Tunnel Hill Road coming down through. And I was just, you know, thinking about some stuff. Didn't realize that I'd gone over the speed limit. Police officer stopped me. And, you know, he came up to the car. And he said about what my speed was and that stuff. And I apologized to him. I said, he said about what I was going. And I said, he said, do you realize how fast you're going? I said, I'll be honest, officer. I said, no, I didn't realize I was going that fast. But I said, I understand you, you know. I'm not gonna lie to him. And I said, I just told him, I apologized to him. I said, yeah, I shouldn't have been doing that. I said, you're right, and talked to him. And he went back to his car, and he wrote me a ticket out. He came up and wrote me a ticket, and he said, you know, he said, normally this speed over, he said, there'd be points on your, for this. He says, but I have the, he said, I can write it up in such a way there won't be any points put on your thing. He said, so you pay the fine. He said, that's it. You'll never have any points or anything on your thing. But you know, and he did it. Why? Because I just submitted to it. I told him he's right. He's in charge. I'm not. If I'm speeding, he has every right to do what he did. And he's doing his job. And treat him with respect, because you don't treat him bad. You know, I was wrong. The guy carries a gun and the cops shoot him and kill him. And then they go out here and people riot. Oh, they killed that innocent guy. He didn't shoot the cop. He had the gun. Cop has the authority to protect himself. It's like, but people see rebellion. And this is what much of the church world today is really, whether people realize, is in rebellion. Because we don't submit, we don't think authorities, we don't pay much attention in those areas. Keith said, if we don't understand submission, we'll never understand authority. We'll not understand how it works. And, you know, it's just like we as Christians. You ever think about, I mean, all the authority Jesus has. And Jesus tells us, lays out in scriptures, the authority that we have, that we're given in the earth, okay? And really, if you think about it, I mean, we probably have not operated in half of what God's handed the church. But now think about the other side of it, though. See, you can go over on the side where you're not in submission. Because there's people who get over on the ridiculous side. They get over and think they're God. You know, I have all this authority. No, Jesus Jesus holds a position of authority we will never hold, and he has authority we will never have. Our authority is, it has limitations on it. Ed's never going to become God. I might get a body just like Jesus has, but Ed will never become God. That'll never happen. I will never become the source of life. I think Christians, and they think they're the source of life, they get over too far in the areas of faith, and they get into the extreme on faith. And they start operating in areas of authority that's God's. And they don't realize the problems that they cause, the troubles they cause. We have to. We walk in line with what the Word says we're to, the authority that was given to us. My words. We got. I don't know why we'd want to become God. We ain't walked in what we got over here. I don't know about you. I haven't. You know, maybe you did more than I did, but I haven't been there and done it all. So, and understand that. So people get over there. So we're walking, and we always have a limited authority. You know, you go to work at a job, and they promote you in the job. Usually promotion means there's more authority in an area you have, which always, you understand this. You will never have where you get more authority with less responsibility. Never happens. More authority always leads to more responsibility. A lot of people don't like when I worked at Reese's. There's people, you know, when I was the group leader in the Kit Kat kitchen, and there's people say, well, I wouldn't want to be a leader, you know, here, say, I don't want the responsibility. I said, well, I don't understand you. You're always wanting to tell everybody else what to do. But you don't want the responsibility when it goes wrong, that you told people what to do and it didn't work. You want responsibility. Any good company will pay people according to responsibility, not according to just jobs and people have this. People with no responsibility. I mean, the guy flipping hamburgers at McDonald's should not make what the manager makes. But this is the belief today. See, this is all in the rebellion. This all fits into the rebellion thing. The government's in rebellion against God. It's rebellion against what God laid down practices of how things should be done. And the government, everybody gets the same no matter what. Everybody. You're lazy, you're good, you all get the same thing. That's rebellion against authority. God does not. God resists the proud. These people are proud. They think they're God. They're going to choose. They're going to be gods over people. And loads of people love the government to be God over them. They love it. Let the government be God over me and give me all the stuff that I want and give me the things, and I just sit here. They want that things, but it's against God. I think it was Andrew Johnson, president. Yeah, I think it was him who said, when Americans find out that they can vote themselves money, he said that's the end of democracy in America. They found that out, don't they? Look at political parties, how they run. Promising people things. That's what they do. Because people got over it. They vote themselves stuff. I want stuff. I want things. I want to be taken care of more. I want to... And that's the direction they go. Don't work out well, but that's what they do. They work in these. When we deal with the areas of submission, is for us as believers, is we're going to submit to God. Submission to God is obedience, or we would say submission to His Word. That's what it is. It's submission to what God's Word has said. That's how you submit to God. In other words, if the Bible says it, you know, just do what it says. One of the wonderful things, like Keith Moore said, if you know what the Bible says about it, you don't have to pray 2 seconds to find out. I don't know, it's me. I like that. I like the idea when I find out what the Bible says and I don't have to go praying about that or trying to find out an answer. I like to find the answers that either read the Bible, you get some quick answers and easy answers on some things. You don't have to get over and do, you know, a bunch of praying and seeking God trying to find an answer to a thing. It's there. And so submission to the Word of God, you know, the Bible says something is a matter of believing. The Word should be our final authority. That should be the final authority on things. So whatever the Bible says to do, or the Bible says on a subject, that becomes to us the final authority on that. If Jesus has made a statement on the subject, then that should hold. This is one of the things that I always look at and appreciate, because the visitations that Kenneth Hagin had, where he got revelations from God, where Jesus talked to him and gave him specific revelations, Jesus always gave him scriptures where you could find it in the scripture that you could teach people the principle. You know, it wasn't something that he heard in a vision. It's different from the word. He always gave it to him in the word. And so I always like those things. Jesus said to Kenneth Hagin, he said, I'm going to hold you as responsible for what I tell you as by what the book says. I'm going to hold you. So the Holy Spirit, you know, if I would turn around and say, I can't find my name in the book that I'm called to teach. Well, I know that I'm called to teach. God, the Lord spoke to me about it. If I resist that, God will hold me as accountable for that as if I disobeyed something in the Word said. He'll hold me as responsible because I know what's true. And he told Kenneth Hagin that. It was like Kenneth Hagin's revelations, because he always took them and he took them the Word. I always hold those things. This is God. If God in these last days called a man and said to that man that he was going to use him to get his church ready for the return of Jesus Christ, then the revelations he received, they should be top notch of what we teach in the body of Christ today. But they're not. Why? Because they're the revelations that were given to us so we would be ready for Jesus. That's why I teach the stuff that I teach. I teach things that came from the revelations that God gave Jesus, that Jesus gave Kenneth E. Hagin. Because those revelations, that's why people say, well, why do you teach or talk about faith so much? Because Jesus told the guy that was supposed to get the church ready, go teach my people faith. Well, then we're going to be talking about that, because we're supposed to have that when Jesus comes back. Jesus made one statement about him coming back. He said this. He didn't say about he come back all these things. He said, when I come back, am I going to find faith in the earth? That's what Jesus said. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's loads of groups. He ain't going to find faith in the earth. He's not going to find. They're not going to have it. They got born again, but they rejected the teaching of faith. They rejected that teaching. Why? I need that teaching to be ready for Jesus, so when he comes back, he finds Ed trusting him, not living like everybody else, trusting the government and everything else to take care of you. My words. It's just, the faith thing is a big deal. So these things that we learn from these revelations, from the Word of God, we need to continue to walk in them. We need to be submitted to them. We want the Word of God to have final authority over us. That's what the desire should be. So to be in the will of God is just to be in line with the Word of God. I'm going to read to you here. We'll close in this. We'll talk about it some more the next time. But in Matthew, the 21st chapter, I want us to go to Matthew, the 21st chapter. And this is something Jesus was asked by about authority. And in the 23rd verse of Matthew 21, it says, now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? So understand him. They're coming to him because, number one, they have seen his ministry, his healing, and the things he's done. But also here he's teaching, and he's doing it in the temple. And basically what these guys are coming to tell you, hey, who gave you the right to be in here doing this? Who gave this to you? Who said you could do this? In other words, where'd you get this authority to do that? And, you're doing this thing. You're teaching. And he says, by what authority? And then and who gave it to you? What authority are you doing this? Who gave it to you? So Jesus turns and says this. But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then do you not believe him? Ugh. Okay, now, and on the other side of the coin, but if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus and said, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. In other words, Jesus didn't play their game. You know, these men were liars and frauds. Here's men, prideful men. They aren't going to follow truth. They didn't sit down and say, well, what do we truly believe about this? What do we believe? One thing is, we know, it's just like with the Sanhedrin. When the Sanhedrin was the ruling council over the Jewish nation. Now, they were ruled by Rome, but they had their own governing authorities that they had. And Nicodemus was on that ruling council. That's what he was. And when Nicodemus came, he said this to Jesus. We know. Now, he didn't say, we think about this. But he said, we know you're a teacher sent from God, because nobody can do what you do unless God's with them. You see, these guys are sitting here. And what they don't, it's just like that same Sanhedrin, that same group of people, and the Jewish, the high priest, and them, they had Jesus crucified. They knew he was sent from God. See, these people are liars. They're full of pride. They're pride. See, they don't want anybody else running anything in the nation. They want to run everything. The people all know that John's a prophet. If the people think he's a prophet, they know full well he's a prophet. They haven't obeyed him. They've been resisting. See, John was put in the earth by God to get people ready for the Messiah. You know, Kenneth Hagin was put in the earth for the same thing. God told his mother that. She never told anybody, or never even told him. And he got called up to heaven, and Jesus told him what he said to his mom. And he went back and asked his mom about it, and his mom said, yeah. He said, you're right, you heard from Jesus. She said that God, because the Lord asked her to name him John. Jesus appeared to her down in Texas, appeared to her and told her that the baby was going to be born, and to name him John, because as John the Baptist was the forerunner of my first coming, he will be the forerunner of my second coming, to get my people ready for my return. See, John the Baptist was the forerunner to get the people to ready to meet the Messiah. And you know what? They turned it down. They believed John, but when the Messiah came along, that didn't hit the thing too well. Jesus Christ told Kenneth Hagin, many of my people are not going to be ready for my return. He said, many are not going to be ready. And because he sent somebody to get them ready, and people... And the Lord told Randall Greer, he said that concerning, he told him to teach things that Brother Hagin, that Jesus spoke to him, that Jesus had told Kenneth Hagin in the revelations he gave him. He said, take those, learn those things. He said, meditate on those things and then teach them to people. And he said, many of my people today, he said, are not paying, my people who know these things don't teach them anymore. And he said, some even despise them. And they do. I mean, I'm talking about among Rhema groups. They despise them. They don't teach it anymore. No. There's one Rhema minister that was very close to Brother Hagin. When Brother Hagin died, he returned all of Brother Hagin's books and all of his tapes and CDs and everything to Rhema and said, that era is over. That's gone. You talk about a demonically deceived man. And Kenneth Hagin lied. He wasn't who God said he was. Well, I tell you what, I know that's true, because the revelations he gives, they're scriptural and they're in scripture. So, and understand about this thing, because Jesus just didn't fall in to answer these people just because they came and asked. You know, you have to play people's games, you know. Ask them, just like him, he asked them some questions. Boy, you'll find they don't like to be asked questions. They're always wondering about where somebody else is coming from. Ask them where they're coming from and what about they're doing, and the whole thing changed. So you don't have to, in other words, you don't play by the devil's rules. When your final authority is not the word of God, you'll always come down to, I can't tell. And that's where these guys were. Their authority wasn't the word of God. See, the Jewish, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and that stuff, the Jews over time had added so much to the law, so many laws to the law, that, I mean, it just tainted it. It was just tainted. And that's what they'd done. The main thing, Jesus, that's why Jesus told them, said, you guys follow the doctrine of men, and you don't follow the Word of God. Why? And they were swearing they're following the Word of God, but they're not. They're following all their traditions. He said, the traditions of men. They had all these traditions that they did, and they called it the law. And it wasn't the law. It was their traditions they built around the law. They built all of these. The Torah was just full of my word, it's probably a good 2/3 of it. It's nothing but traditions of it. How they're explaining the law. They complicated everything, made a mess. But they added all this stuff to it. And that's where these guys are coming from. They're not following the law. They don't know what the Word of God says. These were the so-called word people today, but they're all messed up. So people, you know, get into unbelief by entertaining questions. Keith Moore said some things. He said, will not receive revelation by meditating on what you don't know. He said, it'll steal from you what you even know. Don't meditate on what you don't know. You know, people do that, and they'll just get over in an area where they don't know something, and they're always thinking about that all the time. You know, where'd Cain get his wife? Did you ever run into one of those? Oh, I've run into them numbers of times. Where'd Cain get his wife? See, my word, I knew guys were unsaved and said that to me, and I said, you know, you're going to end up in hell. Instead of taking what God will give and reveal to you, you're going to sit over here and chase this and end up lost for eternity because you're over here looking for something. Revelation comes by meditating on what you know is true. See, God gives you further revelation about what you already what you know, and then He'll take that and build on that revelation. That's what He does. So meditate on what you do know. Just get hooked up into those areas. Keith Moore said it's wrong to ask questions in unbelief and accusation. And it is. It's wrong. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. That's what these guys were doing. And their unbelief and inner accusation, that's all they're trying to do is find. They're trying to accuse Jesus of something. But revelation doesn't come from your head. You get it by faith. That's how you get it. So we submit to God by submitting also to the Holy Spirit. Now, let me understand, the Holy Spirit's the teacher of the Word. He'll guide you and lead you into the truth of the Word of God. And He'll do that. So do what the Spirit tells you to do. The Holy Spirit will always move you in line with the Word of God. That's what He'll do. Meditate on the things. And I really do encourage you, just meditate on the things that you already know. The things that you already know in that. That's what the Lord built. I learn over time. You know, I try to get out into things really sometimes where the Holy Ghost wasn't teaching. And I'm trying to find answers. You know, that's how some people come up with certain doctrines. They start going out into areas where the Holy Ghost is not teaching, and they come up with their ideas. Now, I'm not going to knock anybody for it. I've been there. I come up with ideas I thought about the Word. But it was my idea I thought about what the Word was saying. And really, the Holy Ghost wasn't teaching it. And I've learned over time is to let the Holy Ghost reveal things to me in an area. You know, one of the biggest things that helped me learning about the end times and what the Scripture says about it, when I first got born again, a lot of people talking about the end times, and they were doing a lot of teaching. But one thing, it was very confusing to me because people were saying all kind of different things, you know, and it was just so many people, this is the way, this is the way, this is this, and this is that. And there's some things that Jesus said in the Scriptures I thought were pretty easy to understand. I thought, well, and people were making statements and taking Scriptures where I knew Jesus was talking about during the tribulation period, and then yet they would take those Scriptures. It's like, say, where the Scripture says that Jesus returned like the lightning comes from the east to the west. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, I hear these people say this stuff and Jesus coming back for the church. That Scripture's talking about Jesus coming standing on the Mount of Olives, bringing judgment on the earth and setting up His kingdom. That has nothing to do with Him coming for the church. Well, I knew that just by reading His Scriptures. So they take those, and I think, this is just stupid, messed up. So I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I said, I ain't studying anymore in this stuff. And listen, I said, I will not listen to anybody teach on this subject. I said, trying to go through of what people say. I said, it's crazy. I said, this is what I said. Lord, they got 20 different ways about how you're coming back. And this is exactly what the Lord spoke to. I mean, I heard the voice of the Lord rose up inside of me and said, yeah, and 19 of them are wrong. And so, but you know what? I never went back to teaching or to studying on end times again. I never went back there till one day an absolutely one of these fun. I'm reading and studying on some scriptures that didn't even have to do with end times. At least I had no idea. And I'm reading through them, and all of a sudden, the Lord just gave me a revelation while I'm reading and studying these scriptures and gave me a revelation about the end times. And then He started teaching me from that point on. He started showing me things. And there was things that He went on to. And I said, the Lord, I said, boy, I tell you, Lord, I said, most everybody's going a different direction on this. But He would take me over and show me through the Scriptures and started doing things. But I went on for some years of certain things that I didn't teach. I never told anybody or said things that I knew. And about the end times. And then some years later, I ran into Mel Piper, who was with instructors at Rhema. Well, after he left Rhema then after some years, and he left Rhema and he went up to Canada and founded a church up there and that stuff and had a church and things. But anyhow, he wrote a book on the end, on what Jesus said about the end times. And I found out about this book. I went to one of our ministers' things. It was up by Lake Erie there, and they had him as a speaker, and he got up and started sharing exactly the stuff that the Lord spoke to me about. And he's standing up there talking these things, and he got a book on him. I got his book, but he's there talking about what Jesus said about the end times, and he's up there teaching it. And boy, you could see the ministers in there weren't happy because all of them believe. But he had scripture after scripture for what he was saying. And I'm thinking, same stuff he's talking. Well, I was so glad afterwards I talked to him. I said, oh, dear Lord. I said, you don't know, I was good to sit down and hear somebody. Because, see, most people pass on traditions that they're told. Brother, I've done it. I passed on traditions of things already that people said and taught and said they were this way. And we just go on and repeat it because, you know, we think you know. Well, you know it. But we don't. And I've had the Lord take me and show me already, you know, what you believe in there and you're saying that ain't right. And then show me in the scriptures. And I think, dear Lord. When the Lord spoke to me some years back and told me to go over, he said, why do you believe what you believe? And I knew what he's telling me to do. Go back over through the scriptures of basic foundational things I believe and go through the scriptures on them. I started doing it and sat down and marveled at the fact of, Lord, some of these scriptures we preach and use in ways, that ain't what the scripture says. That ain't what it, but see, understand this. We thought that they did, but you know what? We weren't being taught by the Holy Spirit. We were reasoning things out in our minds. And so I learned. I don't just push over into subjects to learn them. I don't do that. I thank God for Keith Moore. Meditate on what you do know, and God will bring. When I started focusing on what I do know and knew for sure I was taught in the scriptures and I knew was right, then God started revealing stuff to me on other subjects tied to that. Because understand this, no one subject stands alone in the Bible. It don't stand alone. All of it ties together. You can, just like faith and love. Well, there's faith, love, patience ties to faith and love. And you get down through anything in scripture will all tie together. You can't have healing outside of faith, patience, hope, love. You can't, you don't have it outside all those subjects. Just like we're teaching submission and authority. Well, your faith ain't going to work without all of it ties together. And that's why when you meditate over an area, he keeps expanding it. And let him expand it. Let him teach you. And I'll tell you what, it'll bless you and help you. I'll tell you, your faith will increase so much faster by letting the Holy Ghost teach you than rather just try to figure things out. Let the Holy Ghost teach you. Let him, you know, show stuff to you. That doesn't mean we can't listen to somebody else teaching on a subject and learn from them. But know that the Holy Ghost is revealing it to you. You know, it's like Brother Hagin. He used to say, he said, if I got a revelation, he said, I didn't go around teaching it. He said, I made sure it worked. If it would work, then we go teach it. You'll find out. Loads of people wouldn't teach the stuff that they did because it don't work. And if they know it don't work for them, why on earth tell somebody else about it? Hallelujah. I learned to teach what I know. So just do that, and I'll tell you, it'll work for you. You know, you don't have to push to learn. You don't have to do that. Just be diligent. Sit down and meditate and read the things you do know. Give the Holy Ghost opportunity to reveal things to you from the Scripture. That's what you do. You know, many times I sit down, and I'm not pushing. I'm just meditating on things in the Scriptures or reading in areas that I may have been looked at before. And as I go down through, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost will take something and bring it to me. You know, and it comes piece by piece. You don't need a ton of revelation at once. Your mind will go tilt. Your brain will go, oh my God, I didn't know I was so dumb. I didn't realize I didn't know nothing. Oh, give me a headache. Just take your time and let the Holy Ghost reveal things to you. Hallelujah. And he'll get you to where you want to go. Praise God. We'll close in prayer. Father, we just thank you as we've looked into these things today. And again, Lord God, we want to thank you for instructing us and guiding us. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, I appreciate the things that I was taught through these things by Keith Moore. Lord God, this is a very important subject. And Lord God, if anything, we do need to be submitted to you And that's our great desire. And we thank you, Lord God, as you instructed us these things. Lord God, none of us have arrived at the place where any of this stuff we're going to teach that we've got all these things. We surely haven't. But Lord God, I want to thank you that you're going to instruct us and teach us so we can walk in it more and more. Lord God, and more we'll be more and more obedient to you and your will and your plans and your purposes, because we do desire that Jesus Christ is magnified and glorified through our lives, and he will be. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.